The NFL Scouting Combine presented by Noble is coming to Indianapolis March 2nd through 5th. Be a part of the excitement. Watch the future stars of the NFL ahead of the NFL Draft, where your Indianapolis Colts have one of the highest picks. Who will it be? Don't miss the NFL's free fan event at Lucas Oil Stadium with football fun for the whole family. Next is here at the NFL Scouting Combine. March 2nd through 5th, download the NFL One Pass and get your free tickets today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Show.
And you don't stop.
With guest host Bobby Bones, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Freaking Rich Eisen. He's calling me. That's cool.
I let Steve hear me talk to Rich Eisen on speakerphone, and he was like, "That's the coolest thing I've ever heard of him."
I know, man. That's where we go.
Earlier on the show, college basketball analyst Coleman Crawley. Coming up, Rich Eisen checks in from Indianapolis. Host of the Life Gorgeous podcast, Craig Kilborn. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Bobby Bones.
What a thrill. I mean, Rich is out. I'm in. I won't be here long, just today and tomorrow. Rich will be back. But
You're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, you know, a great time. I'm having the most fun I ever had. This is awesome. So thank you guys for having me. We'll have Rich on in like 15 seconds. He's at the Combine, which it's a bit different today. The vibe is a bit, it's not just people running and catching. There's actual stuff happening, and I'm excited to talk to Rich, and he's on now. There he is, our guy, Rich Eisen. Rich, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Mr. Bobby Bones? How are you?
I'm pretty good. I actually did a full report about you as a boss here with your crew. They really layered in the good, the bad, and I'm going to have you listen to it so you can improve your job performance when you get back.
Okay.
Wait, do you want to tell them? Do you want to tell him the part where you compared him to a seventh grade girl?
What I said was, Rich, when you called me, I felt like a seventh grade boy, and my seventh grade, the girl that I had like fantasized over my whole life, was calling, and I didn't know what to do, and I was all nervous. And so, yes, that is how. Chris, you got to give context, buddy. You can't just throw it out there like that.
No, of course. I had to make Rich think.
No, Bobby, you're learning what I deal with every day. Context with Chris doesn't really matter.
Not really.
And it matters even less to TJ, who blew the ending of Cocaine Bear for the audience about a week ago.
How? Bobby, I did no such thing. I asked a question that was based on a joke that Rich didn't understand because he wasn't part of the culture.
I understood. You know? It's okay. You can blame it however you wish. You're learning. Context really doesn't matter. You know, I'm just glad accuracy sometimes does.
Rich is an indie. So. Right now,
that is accurate. Yes,
That I'm trying to get us back on with like facts.
Attaboy.
Thank you.
Attaboy, back on the rails.
Professional
here.
Broadcaster.
I'm calling in from Lower Suite 40A.
Oh, nice.
Scoring at home inside Lucas Oil Stadium, which is what the NFL Network commandeers for the booth. And I am here. I'm going on the air in about 58 minutes' time. I'm suited. I am booted. Woo. And I'm going to start tricking them. And about 58.
Who are you, Pat Beverly?
Well,
yes.
I tricked him.
Let's talk about just a vibe there now, because obviously with everything that's happened with Jalen Carter, we've been talking about it here on the show a little bit too. Like, just give me like a vibe check of what's happening at the Combine now.
Well, he's back. Apparently, he's here. He returned to Indianapolis either this morning or last night after he was booked in Athens. And so now he's back here, and no doubt, talking to teams to say to them that he plans on being fully cleared and exonerated of what he's been charged with. And if he does not, then clearly his draft position is going to be the least thing that he really needs to be worried about. And if he does, then I imagine he'll be a top five pick in the draft. If not, he's the guy who's atop Daniel Jeremiah's draft board going into this combine. So that's something we're going to be talking about when we come on the air, and then obviously throughout the night as the position group that Carter would have been performing in is taking the field. So, and these guys get, Bobby, they get bigger, stronger, faster every year. Last year, when Jordan Davis ran a faster 40 than Patrick Mahomes did here at the Combine, that is what we call a wow moment. It's just getting more and more insane having guys get bigger and faster every year.
I was talking about Will Anderson earlier, and I probably will. I wouldn't work out because, I mean, what does he have to gain versus what he has to lose? But from what I know, Will Anderson is going to work out. Will Anderson is received by a lot of the guys as what? Why would he work out, Rich?
Well, let's just say, Bobby, just as a for instance here, let's just say you're doing a major event. You're hosting it, and you have to get out of your chair, and I fill in for you. And then I counsel a star of the event that you're getting out of the chair for to not appear. How do you think you would feel, Bobby?
You know,
as you're now pointing out that Will Anderson shouldn't work out here. If, you know, like, how should I handle that? Because if he doesn't work out tonight, you might as well put a test pattern up on the table. You know what I'm saying?
You're being very selfish with
so
your answer.
What if I went on your show and did that to you?
My only point was,
he
just is
and
so.
Now you've met Rich.
He's so awesome. If I were so awesome at anything, I would do nothing except what I had to do, and that's what I with Will.
No,
Anderson.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, and he could let his tape dominating the SEC speak for itself. But that's the beautiful thing about this event is there is a certain level of competition, and the television cameras, I think, have enhanced it in the years that I have been here. You know, Charles Davis, who's part of our broadcast team, was telling the story last night of when he was on the field. Calvin Johnson was working out here, fresh off of Georgia Tech, had no intention of running, gave his shoes away because he had no intention of running, and then got on the field and asked Charles, "What are those lights for? What are the lights for?" And he's like, "That's television." He goes, "This is being televised." Now, this is, again, back in the early days of the combine when people were not aware that we were televising it. And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, if it's on TV, I'm going to go run it." And he went and tracked down his shoes and ran it in a 4-3 manner and just dominated. And so I think that's part of it, you know. And one day, part of what we're trying to do, I think, is get these 40-yard dashes run in tandem. So guys are actually racing against each other. But the scouts don't like that because they think somebody might get hurt. It's really not, in their mind, a competition, but it is. I mean, everybody here wants to have the best workout. They want to be talked about. They want to have their moment in the spotlight. And I think that's part of what Will Anderson's doing. And I'm thankful he's doing it, despite people using a platform to advocate.
It was a question. It wasn't an advocation.
No, I think, hold on a second, Bobby, I think if you want to run it back.
That's true, he got me.
Said, if I were him, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's true, he got me.
He said.
I tried to gaslight
him. And these things are damaging. They're damaging them to broadcast and then essentially to my livelihood, if you really want to just drill down.
Yeah, and I do. I do.
So I felt the need to just point that out, you know.
Would people tune in more, speaking of your livelihood and your show, would they tune in more if you set an appointment to watch Bryce Young throw or Bryce Young weigh in and be measured his height?
Well, Bryce Young is doing what you advocated for his teammate. He's not working out. He will not spin it here on Saturday.
But I'm saying, what would they tune in more to watch, him throw or be weighed and measured?
Weighed.
Yeah.
But and that used to be public. That used to have cameras on. That's when there was Tom Brady in his underwear photographs. But the commissioner, when he first took the reins, came to the combine and saw, you know, prospects in their underwear getting photographed. He was just like, "Yeah, we're not doing that anymore." So it's done. It's done behind the scenes. But everyone is concerned about, you know, his measurables. That is it. They, you know, because you know what you got about what beats inside, and you see what's on film and on tape, but is he really 100-something pounds soaking wet? And I think, you know, and I don't know what to make of that stuff. I mean, I saw video that the NFL posted on its Instagram page today of Joe Burrow talking about his allegedly small hands when he was here at the combine and how insanely laughable that now is, right? Like, I don't think a single second have we mentioned his hand size, other than the fact that we know what it is because he sticks up his ring finger so much. So, you know, it's kind of absurd, but that's the minutia of the event. And so I would answer Young's weigh-in for sure.
Kenny Pickett, that was a storyline last year with his hands. I mean, I thought it was. You ever see that? They hold up those tiny hands. They have like those little rubber tiny hands. And that's what I thought his hands look like by hearing everybody talk about him so much. It's like, can he pick it? Can he even hold a football?
I know. Yeah, he can, right?
Yes, he can do it well.
I thought he did pretty well this year, as a matter of fact, even though I just went higher register. Ooh. I do believe he did. I thought he did pretty well. But, you know, and that's the conversation we'll see on Saturday. That's the quarterbacks that they're getting out over the weekend. So tonight's defensive linemen and linebackers, and tomorrow's the secondary.
Heavy in comparisons always when we're talking about people performing at the combine or being drafted. And I've heard not only Anthony Richardson, but Will Levis. How many people are they going to compare to Josh Allen just because they lower their head occasionally when they run the ball?
That's the anybody who is big and tall and strong, from a smaller school maybe that didn't, you know, got overlooked, that's the Josh Allen comp. That's what you're going to get. And I think that's Levis. They're going to get that treatment. And, you know, the conversation I'm hearing, because, you know, my ears, the amount of rumors I have heard now in the 24 hours since I hung up from you guys yesterday. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Rich, our Twitter account would be blowing up right now.
I know that. Bobby, he wanted me to create a burner account. What is it called? What? Overheard
at
Combine?
At Combine Overheard.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And then Rich was just going to text me all the things he's hearing, and then I was just going to post them and retweet with, oh, man, look at this. Like, no one would know that we were affiliated.
But I don't understand. Why would you want to do that? Like, what is the – just that you know it's a burner account? Like, what enjoyment would you actually get?
You know something other people don't, and you're getting to share. I mean, that's fun.
I guess. Bobby.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you know –
I think it's just more – trouble than it's worth, but you know, the word is you know, the Raiders are going to go young, and they're going to want a quarterback in this year's draft, and that's what they're going to do. And if they can start him, they'll play him. And so that's the thing I'm hearing right now. Who knows? I mean, there's 50 plus days to go. So Levis in the silver and black, a lot of people are pegging him right there. For sure.
You're boots on the ground, and you know a lot of people, and you're cool. So I'm sure you know a lot of things you can't actually say. So you don't have to say what it is, but do you know a couple things that's stored up there that you're like, if I could only say it, it would just totally, absolutely pull the, yeah, you know it. It's like when you pull the curtain off a statue, and you're like, wow, he probably knows things he can't say right now. True or false?
Oh,
true or false?
Self-court, true.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
What's it rhyme with?
Fact. Yeah.
What's it rhyme?
Sounds like what? Crady.
You're in stuff. Put it all together. We'll put it all together. But on Monday, I already told Chris on Monday I might do a top five craziest rumors I've heard at the combine. Might do that.
But some of them he knows are true. That's the thing.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know who knows if it's true. Nobody knows.
Well, Combine Overheard just said a lot of good stuff. I just saw it. Yep.
Combine Overheard. Mm-hmm.
Rich, I saw you on Good Morning Football this morning, so I'm not sure if you saw any of these tweets because you were doing some TV hits, but did you see what Rashad Bateman tweeted about what Eric DaCosta said yesterday?
No.
Eric DaCosta was asked about the troubles that the Ravens have had drafting wide receivers. And he said, you know, if I had the answer, that mean we would have better receivers. So we're going to keep swinging. Rashad Bateman quote tweeted it. How about you play to your player's strength and stop pointing the finger at us at number 8?
So give me that one more time. The tweet said what?
Rashad Bateman, how about you play to your player's strength and stop pointing the finger at us at number 8? Blame the one who let you do this. We take the heat 24/7.
Well, they got a new offensive coordinator, right? I mean, so I guess we'll find out, won't we? Hey, man.
It seems like there's stuff going on in Baltimore, man.
Dude, I just wish that sort of, you know, chesty comment was on the field when I was calling Ravens Browns, staring at the scoreboard, not moving. An hour and a half, you know, while the rest of the country was still buzzing about the Vikings coming back on the Colts and getting ready for a snow game in Buffalo. Kurt and I were watching paint dry on top of that field. So, how about that?
He's deleted the tweet, apologized, but still, he said it. Yeah, he said it.
Look, but I don't blame him for saying that sort of thing. You know, like, that you know what's going on there. You hear all the time. I mean, Steve Smith keeps saying all the time that receivers don't like going to Baltimore, and they run it a lot, but we'll see what the new coordinator does. And obviously what happens with Lamar, you know, my spidey sense has been going off on that for weeks. And so, you know, obviously what happens with him is a major story that's going on here. As the Tuesday after the combine, the Ravens are going to have to make a decision on how to tag him or not. So that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Rich Eisen from the combine right now. So what is happening today specifically where we will have a little more clarity on who we like and who we don't like and who we think is overrated?
Well, I don't know if the overrated is going to be apparent today. It's just usually the combine. It's just, like I said, the defensive line group gets bigger, stronger, faster every year. So there's three groups of guys, and it's done alphabetically in defensive line. And so Will Anderson, with an A, will be first up right at 3 o'clock Eastern time, pretty much running a 40-yard dash. He might be the first one. As a matter of fact, let me look right here. No, there's some other guys who are running before him. But he may be one of the first ones up. And then, or he's in the third group. He's technically a linebacker. God bless it. That's where they put the edge rushers who can drop into coverage sometimes. So he's in group three later on tonight. And then there's another kid in the defensive line group named Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. And he's the guy that Daniel Jeremiah has kind of pegged as this year's Trevon Walker out of Georgia, as somebody, you know, as we're talking about Carter and Anderson, that he's the one that can wind up shooting up draft boards, and he might be the first defensive player taken when it's all said and done, which is kind of what Daniel said about Walker at the combine last year, and people thought he was out of his mind, and sure enough, the Jaguars took him first. So that's a kid to watch tonight. You got some other, you know, obviously terrific players at these important front seven positions tonight. And then tomorrow the corners run, and then the defense rusts and the offense gets out there.
I want to ask one final question about Bryce Young. Let's go back to him, and people love to do the comparisons to other players. First of all, who in the world would they compare him to? You can't even compare him to Lamar because Lamar is a lot taller than he is. And then secondly, would there be a team that sees he is not as tall, let's say he's 5'10 or 5'11, and he's actually 180, and go, you know what, maybe we're not going to draft him because he's 2 inches shorter and 15 pounds lighter?
I don't know if anybody's going to have that problem because Kyler Murray's kind of put the kibosh on saying somebody who's not a big 6'2", 6'1", even 6 foot guy, anybody less than 6 feet is a liability. I mean, he's shown some athletic ability. Obviously, they're still waiting on his first playoff win. But he's somebody who I think has busted up a lot of people's myth that you have to be at least 6 feet to succeed at the quarterback spot in the NFL. But the guy that you're hearing most him compared to, unfortunately for him, is Mahomes. Because when he's compared to Mahomes, he's compared to Mahomes as a smaller version. Like, it always reminds you, yeah, he does have a height question mark. And he does have a weight question mark. He's I think Daniel Jeremiah referred to him on our show as a shrinky-dink version of Mahomes. If you put Mahomes in the toaster, it would come out as Bryce Young.
That's funny.
What he said. So that's the comparison you're hearing a lot about for him.
All right, Rich at the Combine, NFL Network. You guys, I'll be watching it. I love it. I can't get enough to watch people run.
Thanks, pal.
I mean, that's it. Rich, talk to you tomorrow.
I appreciate you doing today.
Yeah.
Thanks. We'll chat again tomorrow.
All right, Rich.
All right, guys.
Be good.
Make
Thanks.
Fun.
All right, Rich.
Right, Monster.com is what got Rich there and here, and Monster.com can help you tackle the job search and make your next career move. It's time to get off the sidelines. Go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. All right, Rich Eisen there. We will come back with Craig Kilborn. Very excited about this. In person, I read that he's 6'4". That's what I read.
He's tall.
Yeah. That stinks because I'm not that. I'm like 6'1". If I wear the right shoes. Craig Kilborn in studio next.
Football is all about style and fun, and the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in? Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
Well, it's super cool for me, you know, and I'll be serious, Craig, for a second. You have been a major influence on just me as a professional to watch what you do and how you've done it for so long. Like, before I introduce you officially, like, from sincerely, I'm a massive fan, and, you know, you're someone that I had hoped to emulate at some point.
Run with that. Yeah. Run with
okay,
that.
Okay,
keep,
let's do it.
Keep this going.
Let's do it.
So you like people that don't work, that retire early. I get it. That makes sense.
You know, my wife would like for me to retire sometimes. But it's the fact that you went in, you're doing play-by-play for the Savannah Spirits.
In Savannah, Georgia, back in the day, man.
And that turns into, through a couple steps, Sports Center, The Daily Show, to having your own late night talk show. Like, all of that just kind of shows you it doesn't matter where you're from, it's where you're going.
Right.
And that is really inspiring to a guy like me, honestly. Sincerely.
Thank you.
Sincerely.
So thank you for being so nice about that. I got a quick story for you. I was so happy to see that you were in the Celebrity Pro-Am at Pebble Beach. And I like your swing, man. It's compact. You don't
go
back too far.
It's because I'm scared to, but yes. Yeah.
And so I used to live up in Carmel, and I worked in local TV in Salinas, Santa Cruz, Monterey, the 110 market. My boss was Paul Miller. He was the news director where I worked. Now he owns the newspaper, the Carmel Pinecone. And the Carmel Pinecone is one of the few newspapers in America that makes money. It's free every Thursday and Friday. You get it free. It's paid. They have all this advertising, and he makes a really sweet profit. And like some people, he's on his third marriage, and I met Jackie. I've met Jackie a couple years ago, but at Thanksgiving, I was up there, and I saw Paul and Jackie, and Jackie's like, I like your podcast. How'd you get Bobby Bones on? I said, how do you know Bobby Bones? He goes, I love Bobby Bones.
Thank you.
So middle-aged women love you.
That's what I hear. Yeah, it's my prime demographic there. You know, I actually met Craig because I just sent you a DM. And I was just like, hey, man, big fan. That was literally it.
Right.
Just DM'd you, said, hey, man, big fan. And then you follow me back. So I screamed like a schoolgirl. And then now we have this budding friendship.
Yes. You have a lot of followers on Instagram. Pete, you're kind of a phenomenon. And I'm like, I'm in my mahogany panel den watching Turner Classic Movies, so I don't know all these young people. You're a young person, right?
No,
you
not
have
really.
A lot of dreams.
I have those. Yes.
And you're doing very well. I saw you on the Grammys. Did you do the Grammys?
I did.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you could probably dunk on Seacrest, right? You're a ball player, right?
You know, I love Ryan and. Ryan is, that's my guy. I'll leave it there. Ryan's like Illuminati, you know? You don't want to mess with Ryan. You're like,
right.
Yeah, he's the king.
So how was Pebble? How was Pebble Beach?
It was, you know, the crazy thing? I'd never been there before. I'd never been allowed to play the Celebrity Pro-Am. So it was like the first year where they go, you're a celebrity. So I really felt good about that.
Yeah.
And then to get there and play what you've seen on TV for years and years was really special. And I played it well for the first time.
You know, I don't play golf anymore. One of the smartest decisions of my life. I tried to play, and I was living in Carmel. I was taking lessons from the golf pro because he said, you can play Pebble whenever you want, because I was a local sportscaster. Then I get the job at ESPN, and I have to leave. So I said, I better play Pebble. I parred the first two holes. I birdied number 7, which is the par 3. Little, probably a 9-iron or maybe a 7-iron, 9-iron. And I was 2 feet away from the cup. I said to the golf pro, you give it to me? He goes, absolutely not. So I'm shaking, and I got a birdie. And I shot like a 96 because I'm not very good. But when I took lessons, the guy said, because I would push the ball. I actually don't have a strong core. I joke about a strong torso on my Instagram, but I don't have a strong core. So I push, my back releases, and I push the ball. So he says on the practice range, driving range, just pull back halfway and then roll your wrists. And I was snapping 5 irons. And you kind of go back a little bit. You don't get in trouble. And you have a nice, sweet left-handed swing, right?
I have a swing, and it's left-handed. Sweet is debatable, but I'm scared to go back any farther. I haven't played golf very long. And right. So, yeah, we played, and Jim Nantz called a shot. You know, I'm up, and Jim Nantz is calling, and the cameras are on. I'm trembling.
Right.
You know, and I do a lot of stuff on big stages, and I don't get that nervous because I feel confident, because I've been working, and I put in the time.
Right.
Golf, I did not feel that. Like, I probably peed a little, and it was shaking. My knees were shaking. And when I hit it, and I won, I beat Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
One-on-one. Beat Aaron Rodgers.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yes, that's right. Put that out there. Tweet that.
Jeez.
But if you're allowed to pee, that kind of gives you an advantage because it throws everybody off.
I was a little lighter, yeah.
But I quit because I was invited to celebrity golf tournaments, and I was horrendous off the tee, and I was very good in basketball, so it wasn't enjoyable for me to be mediocre or below. I was below mediocre in golf, so it's cathartic to get out of there.
I saw Paul Gasol playing or hitting balls on the driving range right next to me.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's Mark Gasol. Paul, yeah, it's Mark.
They're brothers.
They're both massive. And they had a hat on. They're both 7 foot. And to watch a 7 footer swing,
right?
They were still so athletic, it looked somewhat normal. But yeah, being 6'4, do you have to get new clubs?
Muscular 6'5, technically. I can play 5'11. You know, I probably should have gotten clubs that worked. I blame Carl Ravitch. He made me buy these clubs from his buddy at Bristol, Connecticut. And I don't know, maybe he got a little kickback there, but they're too short for me, my clubs. That was my issue. By the way, one more thing about golf, because I'm glad I don't play. I can putt. You know why I can putt? Because it's all touch. It's all touch. I have touch with passes, with putting, but I can't swing off the tee, man.
What were you? Were you a three? Were you a two, a three?
Great. One of the greatest questions ever. I was recruited to play two guard. I was like Pistol Pete. I also played small forward, and I had my best games at point guard. The reason I didn't play as much at Montana State, I had a full ride, is because this guy, a friend of mine, Jeff Epperly, who was from Kalispell, Montana, he was supposed to go to the University of Montana, the Grizzlies, not the Bobcats in Bozeman. But he comes down there, so now we have these two guards, and they had to go with the Montana guy. More athletic than me, kind of like a Rex Chapman. But who's better, Pistol Pete Maravich or Rex Chapman? I should have played more. First two games I played.
You're still holding on to that, huh?
I know. This is kind of pathetic what I'm doing right now. Listen to this logic. First game I played, I scored 20. I started. I scored 20 at the Kibbe Dome in Moscow, Idaho. And then the next game I scored 12. And we had a very long three-point line then, and I made threes. So by my math, I would have averaged 16 if I played all the time, 20 and 12. Anyway, you can cut this part out.
Yeah, we're live, so all good there.
Craig, you also bench press 240 in college, it says here?
What did he say?
He said you bench press 240 in college.
Yeah, I'm a skinny guy, and I have a massive chest and skinny arms. You know, I do a curls and nothing happens, and then I do the bench press and I have massive chest, and now I wear sweaters and I have man boobs, so I have to wear sport coats all the time.
What do you credit that to? Just genetics? Or do you see other family members
know.
With the same massive breasts?
I don't know. I just you have to ask Arnold about that.
Yeah. I will. I'll definitely ask him next time. I mean, Craig brought something up you guys have in common. Let's talk about the Wolves for a second. T-Wolves they're 8 in the West right now, 500, like direct. It's a pretty 500, I think 32 and 32.
They're right there. I think the 32, yeah, they're, we won the other night at the Clippers, and my hair was blonde 2 weeks ago. Now it's changed because they went on a three-game losing streak, my beloved Timberwolves. We win at Dallas against Kyrie and Luka. We play some great D, one of our better games of the year. We come home and lose to the Wizards. We're up 20. And then we lose to Charlotte at home. Then we go to Golden State. We're up 12 in the fourth. Nobody's playing except for Klay Thompson for the Warriors. We lose three in a row, and I basically exhale and say, I don't know if we're even going to make the play-in. Then an inspirational win against the Clips. I'm going to the game tomorrow at the Lakers. We're good, but we're inconsistent. We're streaky.
Very streaky. And what do you credit, though? Because, again, I mean, Jaden McDaniels is awesome.
Like, how do you know Jaden McDaniels?
He will lock you up.
How do you know him?
He will lock Montana State, Craig Kilborn up, and stop that Pistol Pete talk real quick. Like, to watch him, amazing. Now, why with players like Jaden or Rudy Gobert or Anthony Edwards. How are you losing these games to these teams? They shouldn't even be like the Hornets are terrible.
Yeah. Well, LaMelo played well that game, but our offense sometimes shuts down. They're double teaming Ant. You can take out a good player by trapping him. They double team Ant, and then our offense shuts down. We do have a player who's been out for, I think, 40 games. His name is Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty good.
Maybe you've heard of him.
We've heard of him.
But once we traded D'Lo, which was, I supported that, we lose a secondary scorer until Cat gets back. So sometimes the points are hard to come by in the fourth quarter. I hope that answers your question.
It does. In a very articulate way.
Thank you.
Way into the weeds where even moderate basketball
fans will
lost.
How do you know Jaden McDaniels? He's a stud. He should be
What do you mean, how do I know him?
He's the national media doesn't follow the Timberwolves like I do, and he is a gifted, like a Scottie Pippen-type defender.
I agree. That's why I like him. I like players that play with great. I like players that will actually play defense because it's rare now. And also have, league pass. So when I'm working on the next day, shows, I watch whatever game's on. Would you relive this Viking season again?
Great question. I can't. Oh, I'm not allowed to say great question all the time.
You are. Especially do that. No. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting question, Bobby. Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones.
I think a lot of your popularity, besides being a nice guy and a gifted broadcaster, is your name and your eyeglasses. I think, you know what I'm saying? Bobby Bones is fun to say.
That hurts a little, but I'll take it.
The eyeglasses are, and you have more than we've talked about this. You have over 20. I have 10. You have over 20 eyeglasses.
I can't see, though. Like your glasses, they make you look very distinguished. It's the whole, it's the version of you now.
Right.
You're Lord Kilby, but why? What are your eyes bad?
I've been wearing glasses since I was in fourth grade.
But why these glasses now and not contacts? Like probably
I don't like wearing contacts. I want my eyes to breathe.
Mm. Yeah, never thought.
Back to the term. Vikings. Great regular season. We overachieved. Our defense was always suspect. The defense didn't improve. The national media likes to say they're frauds because of the record. That's inflammatory. And that is childish to use the word fraud. We were just winning games on our schedule. Miraculously, we have the best receiver in football. I like Dalvin Cook. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's a running back. He's very good. Kirk is solid. But our defense is rough, and we just hired Brian Flores, so I'm excited to see what he does.
Did you start to believe at any point near the postseason that this could be a team that would make a real run?
No, I did not. In fact, no. This is kind of – maybe this is – too negative. We should not have lost at home in the playoffs to the Giants. You don't lose playoff games at home. But by losing that game, we avoided a shellacking at the San Francisco 49ers. I thought the Niners were unbelievable. They didn't have that quarterback issue in the game against Philly. It would have been maybe a different story, even though Philly is very good. But I was fearful of the Niners, so we avoided playing the Niners.
Favorite NBA player of all time?
I just told your man over here, Dr. J, that great poster you guys have, Julius Irving. When I was a kid in Minnesota, everyone played hockey. My dad was from New York. He liked the Knicks. I liked basketball, so I liked Walt Frazier first. Then I discovered the doctor, Julius Irving, and he was my favorite player. Nobody moved like the doctor. Nobody moved like the doctor.
We were talking about Will Chamberlain. It's the anniversary of his 100-point game. 61 years, I believe, right? 61, we said?
61.
You ever have a game like that? What's your 100-point game, Craig? It'd have to be 100, but what was the game where you look back like that was prime, Craig?
This is so fascinating. And when I was a senior in high school at Hastings in Minnesota, I averaged 26 a game. I never exploded. My high was 34. My low was 17.
Wow.
I had 17 points in one quarter, but I didn't score over 40. I love passing, man. I love the no look, eyes in the back of your head, set up the teammates. I love passing. Larry, Magic, Steve Nash.
So you were not a ball hog.
Ricky Rubio. I was not a ball hog. Sometimes, but...
You ever hit a game winner at any level?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Talk me through it. What was on the clock?
Well, I don't remember that. I'll tell you the one I remember that was kind of surreal was I was a junior in high school. This is not a game winner, but nobody ever dunked in a game in our high school. And it was over the Christmas break, and my brother was back from Rice University. And there was this girl. I love saying names of girls from high school because they always sound magical.
And well, you hope they hear, and then they're jealous they didn't give you the time of day back
yeah,
then.
She's yeah, she's still not giving me the time
exactly.
of day. Listen to this name, Roxanne Tervola.
Like a made-up movie character.
And I stole the ball, and I dunked the basketball off one leg with one hand. And I never showed emotion, because Clyde Frazier was cool and never showed emotion. But this time I put my arms up. I couldn't believe I dunked. A few minutes later, another steal, and this time I really cocked it back and slammed. And I didn't have any expression. I wanted to play it cool. And my chest felt like it was going to explode. And I ran back, and I looked at Roxanne, and I felt like I was in slow motion. I was like 16 or 17 years old. And I dunked in a game, and it was amazing. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that experience? Do you ever play sports where you hit a home run and you everyone's going crazy and it feels like you're in slow motion?
No, I was a first baseman who hit for average, so there wasn't a lot of dynamic offense coming from me.
Right.
So singles and doubles mostly. Right. And then when I got to college,
what's that like to live like when you sing a life of singles and doubles? Is that boring?
It is. It gets to be boring, yeah. When you have a limited skill, you really have to grind it out.
You're very self-deprecating.
You have to grind it out.
People like that.
No, that's not. Well, you say self-deprecating. That's me being honest. So that means my honesty is actually sad,
right,
is what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Can you hang into another segment?
Yeah, I'm here for you.
All right.
Bobby Bone.
All right. Craig, he said saying my name is the only reason I'm successful, folks. So, Bobby Bones.
No.
Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones.
I said you're a gifted broadcaster and...
I didn't hear that part, yeah.
Gifted broadcaster. Bobby Bones and his eyeglasses. We'll be back.
All right, we'll be back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back with Craig Kilborn. So you're fancy now, which growing up in the Midwest, when did you get fancy?
This is what I wear around the house. You know, my parents, I'm English on both sides. I've worn silk robes since I was 12. And I watch Hitchcock movies. I've always had I used to wear Dickies. You know what a Dickie is? Anybody know what a Dickie is?
Oh, I thought you meant the brand. I wore the brand, but that was from Walmart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, this was from Dayton's in Minneapolis. I have a slender frame, a tight torso. I don't gain weight. You know what's weird? People say I'm well-preserved. I drink, Bobby. This is me, and I drink a little bit.
But is it the healthy stuff? Like, doctors say if you drink 9 quarts of wine a day, you'll live to be 110, but it's only like one specific wine. Like, are you dialed in on what to drink?
I drink red wine and vodka martinis, you know? And
you posted a nice wine the other day, Craig, a few weeks
ago. Yeah,
I looked that baby up.
I have fun.
But if I gave you a cheap wine.
No.
No, let me finish the question.
I can't even hear the word.
Before you start vomiting, hold on. Because I don't know what wine tastes like. So if I gave you a wine that was $10 and a wine that was $1,000 a bottle, without a doubt, you could tell the difference.
You know, they actually have done these tests, and the people are impressed, the blindfolded. They don't do quite that $1,000. It's like a $200 bottle of wine and a $40 bottle of wine. And a lot of the people, they're impressed with, this is the... So it does influence you. But I can find wines that are $20 that are good, $40 that are good. I've done it with $10 bottles of wine. I can do that. And I enjoy it with food. It's great with a steak. It's great with cheese. There was something else I was going to tell you, and I don't remember what it was. Oh, Bobby, he just said he's never tried wine. He doesn't drink. And Bobby, I knew that because you did my podcast, The Life Gorgeous, and we talked about that quite a bit. And I admire people who don't drink. That's a great discipline.
I wish I did.
Yeah.
I think I would be able to. I've never had a drink.
Right.
And I think if I did, I would be much more fun to be around.
There's no, you're fun to be around. There's no reason to start. But I do on my podcast, I implore the young people to drink in moderation. I always say, don't chase the night. Don't go bar hopping. Have an out. That's a meal and sleep. A meal and sleep. But it's fun at 5 o'clock to have a martini.
Why the podcast and why are you so good at it now?
I don't know. I've actually taken months off because I switched to a new company and I'm going to start dropping some more podcasts in about a week and a half or 2 weeks. Our friend Michelle Beadle.
Oh, yes.
Ryan Russillo. Maybe Bobby, you're always invited back. I hope you have time to squeeze me in. You know, I like to say Bobby Bones.
That's the genesis of my success. People yelling Bobby Bones. Yeah. We've done that.
I could get A-Rod on. I haven't bothered him yet, but I can get A-Rod will do it. He's a minority owner of the Timberwolves.
Do you know him better now because of that?
Didn't know him before. He appreciates that I'm a Wolves fan, and he's like, I didn't know you're from Minnesota. Why'd you grow up in Minnesota? I said, my dad took a transfer to Minnesota from New Jersey. That's why I did it. Before I forget, I wanted to go back to Carmel Pebble Beach because it's my favorite place in the world. And I wanted to ask you, you said it was your first time. Did you go to any restaurants or you didn't have too much time to?
We did. So a friend of mine who is a singer, artist named Jake Owen and I split a house. So we were like in the neighborhood. Okay. And you know, we Zillowed that thing too. It wasn't even like a massive house and we still Zillowed it because we could see the beach. It was like $5 million for a house right there.
You're in Pebble or Carmel?
We were in Carmel.
The little village.
Yes.
Now, I find it, I lived right next to Katie's place near Casanova Restaurant. I lived there when I worked. It was a studio apartment. And I never got tired of walking around the village. I'd go down to the beach and run on the beach. Did you do that kind of stuff?
No, none. I had to work. I was working, doing a radio show.
Yeah.
I was doing some promo stuff for a TV show, and then I was playing golf. And I'm really nervous about playing golf because I'm still new.
Right.
So we did that, but I was thinking about you when I was there because I think about you everywhere. It just so happened I was there as well. But I would live there.
It's like a fairy tale village. But there's a great restaurant, my favorite, Lescargot, French restaurant, Carrie Lautis, and that's a couple blocks north of Ocean. It's got it's really nice. There's a place called Chez Noir, new place, Grazings, a lot of great places to eat there. Mention my name. Doesn't mean anything will happen. Double charged.
So what's the plan? Because you retired in your prime. I mean, when you quit then, I was like, where are you going?
Do you guys know the word in Nashville?
You're Barry Sanders.
You know,
you're Barry Sanders of hosts.
Sometimes, he was quick. I have a quick first step, by the way. Defense is boring. But man, you give me the ball, let me create. Yeah, I was a ball hog. I wasn't honest earlier. But anyway, what was I saying? Do you know the word enigmatic? Do they know that word in Nashville?
We know a few words. That's one.
I'm a bit of a mystery. I'm an enigma. But it was a very easy decision to leave late night. Most people do not understand it. Creatively bored. I could also give you this, but I'm not going to elaborate. That show wasn't set up for victory. It was more of a placeholder. But the CBS gig was my favorite gig. It was easily my favorite gig. Did it 5 years.
You have to write a book at some point.
And you're right. And I'm jotting it down. I'm jotting things down now. And my writer friend Goldie, who works on Family Guy, he says, when you decide to write a book, call me. There are 10 stories you've told me that have to be in the book. Because I will tell stories sometimes. And I haven't even told him the Roxanne Travolta story yet.
We'll send him a written transcript.
Absolutely.
Craig, is Luka and Kyrie going to work?
I don't know. I think Kyrie wants to go play in the Lakers. I don't know if he's going to re-sign. But the problem with the Mavericks, in my opinion, we beat them a few weeks ago in Dallas. All we did was attack the rim because they have no rim protection because they're undersized. Now, in the playoffs, when you play small ball and hit corner threes, But I don't know if it's going to work. I will say this. I'm not fearful of them in the playoffs.
If they
make the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs. Right. Yeah. All right, we have 2 minutes. I'm going to ask you two questions. Is there a group thread with any of the older, like for me, watching you guys on SportsCenter, that was the era for me? Is there a group thread with any of you texts that you guys all share with each other?
Not that I'm aware of it. I'm not on it.
If so there's one without you.
Yeah, yeah, there's probably one without me. Mm-hmm. Because they know I'm busy over here.
Yeah, retired. Last question. I've always wondered this, and you can pass on this. How did you retire? Did you have so much money saved up? You just were like, because you're living here, and you quit after 5 years of doing late night or so.
Yeah.
Like I had to think the bank account was so stacked and fat for you to walk away.
Well, I would just say sound investments. My dad, I remember what he got when he retired. My dad retired early at age 52, didn't like his new boss, but he made money in the market. And I would say California real estate is really special. It always appreciates. And I would advise young people, if you can avoid it, don't have a mortgage. So those are my
financial
advice
from Craig Kilborn.
Yes.
The Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call. ClickGrainger.com or just stop by. Listen, Craig, two segments I could do. Nah, two's enough, but I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Bobby Bone.
And Craig said yes immediately. I'm so grateful. Again, all seriousness, being as authentic as possible. You're a hero of mine in this world because of the many things you're able to do and how you did them. You did not go, I'm just a sports guy. You did not go, I'm just a funny guy. Like, you're able to move around. Agility, versatility.
You.
Like
Thank
your game,
you.
It sounds like. You're all over the place. 26 a night. 26.
Hold it. Hold the follow through, young people. Gooseneck.
Although we only ever hit 31 or 32.
34 was my high.
A little disappointed in that.
I know.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank Rich for letting me fill in, Craig for showing up. We didn't know he was coming until like 10 minutes before the show. He was like, hey, I'm here. You got any food? We're like, we sure do. I got a yogurt back here. The guys, I got free shirts for you guys.
Hey!
I brought some Arkansas gear. I should have gave it to you at the beginning.
Ooh, pick suey.
That's right. Get ready for that. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. We'll talk to Rich again from the Combine. And everybody watching, thank you. Follow at richeisen.com. And we'll see you tomorrow right here. Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones. Out.
Youth football is all about style and fun, and the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?